welcome to this episode of the Senior Care Growth Show. My name is Winston, and today we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic, combining traditional senior living PR tactics with modern digital tactics to improve your census. And I'm super excited today to be joined by Janice Ehlers. She is the president of the Ehlers Agency in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They are a marketing communications agency for senior living communities all across the country.
Are you curious about how you could improve your website, marketing, or sales activities to increase revenue for your organization? As a special thank you for listening to the show, we're offering Senior Care Growth Show listeners an exclusive strategy call free of charge. To set up a time to get specific, actionable advice, visit www.seniorcaregrowth.com/connect. We're looking forward to helping you grow.
Janice, welcome to the Senior Care Growth Show. And maybe by way of introduction, you could tell people a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. Thank you so much for inviting us today. Public relations is something that I really enjoy. I have such a passion for. And it's so funny, no matter how many times we get a client's name and an article in the newspaper, and I sort of pat myself on the back and say, you know, Janice, you can still do this. And it brings so much pleasure to me. My company is over 20 plus years old, and I created the Ehlers Group after I had a very strong corporate background as well as experience at a public relations firm. So my company sort of merged that. And early on, I wrote a book called Marketing Senior Housing and decided that my future was really in the senior housing industry, that I couldn't be something to everybody. So we've specialized in senior living communities, and we work from really the West Coast of the country in Arizona or Washington State, Oregon, California, to this coast in Florida.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what a cool industry to be in. We're having, you know, so much fun talking to folks in the industry and learning so much about the industry, and just a really good place to be.
I sure think so. you know, you had mentioned to me, how has public relations and marketing shifted over the past 10 years? And yeah. I think about it really as a consumer, because I broke my ankle last October, and I was homebound, and I was running my business from, you know, through the internet and through the telephone, and I could keep the business going. That really wasn't a problem. And then I was able to eat because I could order meal delivery to the house, you know, that was coming every day. I could get everything from paper towels to pet food online. And Amazon, you know, it kept me shopping. So I think that's really the key in how the consumer, how things have changed. And it affects public relations because the news has changed. How we get our news is so dramatically different today. You see the shrinking newspaper every morning when I go out to my doorstep and pick up the newspaper. But you see the growth in things like podcasts, the value of blogs, you know, all the things that are digital that the consumer now has access to. So there's including digital editions of the newspaper. So they're still getting the news. They're just getting it different ways. And PR, it plays into it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's a good segue into a question I had for you is newspapers shrinking, people are getting their news in different ways. What types of PR activities do you think are still relevant today? And where should people be spending their time and energy when it comes to PR?
Sure. We call it, there's still traditional public relations, and we will contact the newspaper or write press releases. We always say we have a nose for news. And for example, this is an article that is about a lady who they found a lost dog in their senior living community. And lo and behold, we heard about it. And we were able to turn that into a very positive news PR story about this woman and about the community. So that's the traditional PR that still works, because people will pick up the newspaper or go to a digital edition of the newspaper. So that's traditional. Also, newsletters. People still go to their mailbox and they still read what comes in the mail. So that's still traditional. So we're constantly looking at traditional PR tools, because we know that the end user moving to the community is our audience, but also their adult child and the adult daughter. But then also there's grandchildren, and they're getting their news, their PR, we're reaching them with PR differently.
Yeah, so it sounds like really with, in some cases, many generations of decision makers, you really have to account for how those people consume content and where they get their news and how they would come across these communities. Is that right?
Exactly. And we have to differentiate one community from another. So in PR, we say, who are the audiences? What is the brand? What are really the key differentiations of that community that we are going to get out there, both with traditional and this whole advent of non-traditional or the new tactics?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so when it comes to like those key differentiators, how do you help communities figure that out? Like, because one discussion I had recently with somebody was sort of the sea of sameness, in a way, of kind of a lot of communities doing the same thing or sort of looking the same from a surface level. How do you help them figure out what their differentiators are?
Exactly. I was recently doing a competitive study and making telephone calls and looking on the internet. And it's like, all these communities serve 3 meals a day and snacks on assisted living.
Yep.
So how do you differentiate? Well, you know, we always recommend an audit or an assessment. And that goes in, a team goes in and assesses how this community, what kind of impression that community makes to the consumer when they come to visit. And then we also figure out what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, what are the differentiating points. So in other words, instead of saying we have 3 meals a day, whether it's an executive chef or farm to table or organic cuisine, you know, we have to find something, or homemade pies. I mean, we have to find something that changes the message from 3 meals a day or a swimming pool. I mean, because, you know, and it goes back to sort of like where we've come from 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, you didn't have as many to choose from if you wanted a senior living community. Now, in some markets, they're on just about, you know, like every couple of miles, you'll have another senior living community.
Yeah. Yeah. So to that point, I mean, with that much competition, you've got to stand out. You've got to look different, or you're just going to get lost in the shuffle.
Well, and then you're also competing against brand new communities that have all the bells and whistles. And, you know, we have clients that are like, their communities are 50 plus years old. So that's a challenge too.
Yeah, so that's an interesting challenge too. So what would you say if it's someone's listening to the podcast and they're working in a community that's been around for a while, and it's, you know, maybe a little bit the grounds and the actual structure of the building is a little bit dated compared to maybe the new community down the street? What are the types of things that you would leverage in that situation to maybe tell a really positive story, put a positive spin on it?
Well, from a PR perspective, we would go in and say, you know, what are the things that separate that community? Like, maybe they have long-term employees that have been there, or we have a community where they have multi-generations of families that live there. I mean, we did a press release about that. I mean, that was very, very unique, that mom and dad love this community so much that their son and daughter moved in there, and now their grandchildren were, you know, seven in their 70s, they're considering moving in. Well, you know, that's really significant. I mean, that's really saying that people believe in that community's concept.
Yeah.
So the old, no matter, in some ways, the older community gives you more to work with from a PR perspective than a brand new community, because you have, it sort of has roots.
Yep, absolutely. That's a good point. And so if you go through that audit and that assessment and you determine with the community, here are a few things that make you different. Here are some value propositions that are unique to your community that we really want to leverage and promote. And we want to, you know, get the message out there. What are some of those traditional PR methods that you would use to do that? And then how do you think that those work together with some of the more kind of modern digital methods?
Well, we start with a press kit. We have press releases that we develop, mm-hmm. and we also have what we call media pitches. And then we leverage those things. Like when you get an article, when you get something in the newspaper, we help a community either with reprints, or we just don't let that press release sit there. We figure out how can we maximize that. So that could be reprints, it could be posted on the web, it could be sent out to people, it could be used as handouts in the sales office. Even if it doesn't appear in the newspaper, there's still value in that press release. So that's one thing. Then we blended together with the new social media that allows us to more control the story we're telling. So that could be very content strong Facebook posts, blogs that are posted on the community's website on a regular basis. It could be video used in Facebook. So those are the things we're really working with communities now, that we're controlling the news that's going out there. You know, you cannot go to your local newspaper and hope for a story every month. I mean, that would be a perfect world. We're lucky to get a story in the newspaper maybe once every 4 months, every 6 months. So, you know, as a PR firm, we have to justify our existence, because at the end of the day, somebody's going to say, why am I paying for a public relations company? So all that social media that we can move the information out there is just so much more powerful. And also the media, the newspaper reporters are also following those posts. So they may see something that we've put on a blog, it hits their hot button, and now it's turned into something that they're interested in.
Yeah, that's great. I like those ideas. And so you mentioned kind of the press kit and press releases and those media pitches. What are some things from a community that would make for good content for those? Like, what are some newsworthy things that communities could you know, pitch to the media or would warrant a press release?
Oh, thank you for asking. That's a gold mine. Okay. For example, here's a community. It's 50 some odd years old. We found out at Christmas time, this is titled Luncheon for the Lonely. We found out at Christmas time, residents get together and they have a luncheon for people that don't have family in the area. So we pitched that to the newspaper. The newspaper loved it. And in addition to, you know, we also provided recipes that they were serving, because every year they serve the same recipe. This is at their traditional luncheon. So and who would think that you could get PR and make the front page of the local section with something like that? This was a community that was celebrating, we find national holidays. So I think this was National Senior Health and Fitness. And this community didn't have anything special planned. And so we suggested, you know, this big day is coming up. Can the community do something special? And the activity director said, oh, well, I'm taking the group of residents to a local park for this new type of therapy. I think it was like tree hugging therapy. It's a sensory activity that they go and commune with nature. Well, yeah. We said, what do we have here? We have a national holiday. We have people going external, you know, but showing that seniors are going to a local park. So we had all the good things that make that like a good pitch. The paper loved it. They were out there. And the park loved it because they said, oh my gosh, we didn't think about promoting our park this way. So we just, you know, it goes back to what I said. We have a nose for news. And if you put me in a community, frankly, you could put me in a lot of places. I will find things that are worth promoting that somebody would enjoy reading about in tomorrow's newspaper. We'll get a call from our clients often, and they'll say, Janice, you know, we have a resident celebrating their 100th birthday. You know, we want the media to come here. Well, we have to step back and we have to say, okay, we're really happy that Mrs. So-and-so, you know, has had this longevity, but what's the hook? What's the angle? What's going to make somebody, when they pick up the paper, when they turn on the news tonight, what's going to make that special? So, you know, we turn it around and say, what did she do in her life, you know, that we can have a hook to promote?
Yep.
And sometimes there's not. Sometimes she's a lovely lady and she's, you know, had a rich life. But then other times you find out, oh, she was a school teacher. And over the years, she taught thousands of people. And lo and behold, somebody became a U.S. senator. Well, you know, that gives me a little bit more to work with. So, you know, we don't need necessarily people that are 100 years old jumping out of planes or doing something. But we dig, you know, we try to find that hook that somebody's going to be interested in reading about it in the paper tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what, those are such cool examples. And what, you know, as I was thinking about stuff, I was tracking with the events and like, we're doing fun stuff in the community, but some of those ideas are so unique where, like you said, the person who's celebrating 100th birthday, find out, you know, what about their life? What's the spin on that? What's the angle that makes that really newsworthy and interesting? And then that can make for a really captivating story. I could totally see as a news outlet, like, yeah, that's a cool human interest story. How neat is that?
Well, and like last week we had a client, they have Olympics every summertime. They call them the Summer Olympics. And we put out a media alert and they really do pretty much the same thing every summer. But they've done it for 15 years. And we put a pitch out and I really was holding my breath. I really didn't think they'd come out again this year. And sure enough, they came out again this year. They love it. But, you know, it's August. It was the West Coast of Florida. There's not a lot going on. And the Summer Olympics brought them out again.
That's great. And, you know, I think the cool thing about that type of coverage, too, is it just shows the personality of the community in such a way.
Yes.
And it's coming from the news or from a newspaper or an outlet that's not the community itself saying, right, let me tell you and let me show you. But it's someone else saying, hey, this place is really cool. Look at all this fun stuff they're doing.
Well, and they say supposedly an article in the newspaper has a 70% greater retention rate than an ad. Now, I can't compare it anymore to what the retention rate is on other ways that somebody's reading about something. But yep, that's pretty significant. We've had people say they've gone into their doctors and somebody in the office will say, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, I read about you in the paper, you know, and that could have been 6 months ago, but, you know, they remember that. And so, yeah, you know, people remember that. And when they start thinking about that senior living community, those are the things that are going to probably drive that person to make the phone call.
Yeah. And so much in these podcasts, we've talked about the kind of decision-making process of the prospect who's looking at these various communities. And so often it sounds like it, you know, and it makes total sense, but it comes back to trust. And which community do they feel the most trust with? And which one do they feel like they can trust the staff and the people? And, you know, what better way to build trust than through a public story of something really interesting that they're doing or some fun activity that just is, it's super transparent. It shows what's happening. I think that just makes total sense.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We also think, I mean, it's very important for senior living communities also to differentiate themselves through events. And another really important point to make, the value of PR is tied to crisis communication. And people have crisis plans on what they're going to do operationally in case of a crisis or an emergency situation. But often those crisis plans don't take into effect how they're going to communicate to their families and the external community. And whether, you know, we're in Florida, so we're very cognizant of hurricane season. And last year, this really came into play, and we really learned the value of PR and the value of the internet and Facebook, because we could help our communities get that word out there twice a day with broadcast. And the families were turning to the internet for that link, as opposed to telephone calls from the community.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that's where we talked about the positive sides of PR, but then right. You have something negative happen at the community or something with negative implications that's even outside of the control, like a natural disaster. Having someone who can help craft the right message out that's public facing is just so important. And that can really, really have a huge impact on the direction of the community and whether or not they're successful long term, because it can be so damaging if not handled the right way.
Exactly. And, you know, also coming from South Florida, we're very concerned about school safety. I say, you know, we also have to be very concerned about communities' safety and thinking in terms of crisis. And it's also another podcast, Winston, but it's not a question when you think about a crisis, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And that philosophy can really help in thinking about how we're going to communicate our messages. So that's my pitch for crisis.
Yeah, that really should be a whole nother podcast, I think, where we help communities with how to handle certain crisis situations and almost like help them think through a toolkit of sorts. I think that would be really, really cool.
So we'll go back to the people that commune with nature instead.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll keep chasing the tree hugging stories. I love that example. That's so good. Cool. Well, Janice, you've given us so much good advice, I think, on how to find really positive stories in these communities and how to get the word out there. And, you know, this is one of those things, though, that to me seems like there's just a ton of benefit in. But it also seems like something where you really have to have that kind of creative mindset and be able to pick out the angle that's right. And you also have to be careful about it. Like we said, I mean, the message that you're communicating to the outside world has to be really carefully crafted. All that being said, if someone's listening to this show and they think, man, we really need to do more from a PR perspective, what would be your advice and next steps?
Well, I think it's really important, particularly in the use of social media, that we always say, you know, you have to keep frequency. And you have to think about who is going to be responsible to maintain that frequency of the message. And, you know, not that I want to pitch my company, but there are people out there that specialize. And the advantage is at the end of the day, when you outsource or you designate somebody that is really their responsibility, At the end of the day, that's what they have to do. And so often in a senior living community, it's delegated to an activity director, a marketing person, the executive director. And you want that activity director to be a very creative activity director doing activities, or the marketing right. person giving great leases and closing deals. And they weren't hired to be writers that understand how to craft a marketing message. And, you know, to the point of the 100-year-old, we see in a community, one community will say, "Happy birthday, Betty," you know, or "Happy 100th birthday, Betty." A PR person will spin it, "The community celebrates Betty's 100th milestone. We look for ways that we can celebrate these momentous occasions with our residents." So that's the difference of the person that's untrained doing it versus the person that's a trained expert. We also have seen situations where somebody will say, "Don't worry about that. We'll have one of our residents write that." Well, a resident, their feelings can get hurt, you know, if their words are edited or, you know, they're criticized. So by outsourcing it, you can really make sure you're putting your best foot forward in a medium that is very, very powerful. So I think, you know, it's worthwhile exploring outsourcing or having a trained professional on your team that does that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you.
And I really isn't that expensive. People think that it is, but it really isn't.
Yeah, and I think that the downside of not having someone who's a professional do it, the risk that's involved with having an untrained person be your public-facing communications person, it's extraordinarily high.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that Facebook post, I mean, we know how damaging negative Facebook posts can be. So, you know, why not really assure, you know, your community that you're putting your best face out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Janice, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, awesome. And so you've been listening to the Senior Care Growth Show. My guest today was Janice Ehlers, and thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with another episode in a couple weeks. Thank you for listening to Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketing professionals come to grow. We'll see you next time.